Our first reading from Scripture comes from the letter from Paul to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and then following verses 13 through 17. It's in your Pew Bible and the New Testament on page 144. So hear these words from Paul to us. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father as all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That scripture is our scripture, the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, in your Pew Bible on page 88 of the New Testament. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This story of Nicodemus seems to me to be the quintessential Lenten story, because so much of this passage hinges on questions. Questions from Nicodemus, and then questions from Jesus, and answering those questions from Nicodemus with even more questions of his own. In my mind and in my spirit, Lent is that time when questions seem to dominate. Lent forces us to think about our mortality, our morality, and our relationship with God and with each other. Lent is a time of questions about life and death issues. When you think about this tale of Nicodemus, it seems ironic. This supposedly well-educated leader of the Jews comes across as not too bright. Jesus starts in with his parable language, full of symbolism and metaphor, and Nicodemus just doesn't seem to get it. He doesn't understand what Jesus is trying to tell him, so Nicodemus counters with what seem like dumb questions. But I think there is more here than what we hear on the surface. It reminds me of an experience that I had when I was a little kid. Back in Columbus, Ohio, my father had an office in his bedroom where he would spend many hours in the evening and on the weekends listening to classical music as he pecked away on his manual typewriter. My dad was an industrial engineering professor, and as such, he wrote a lot. He wrote papers and books and articles for engineering magazines. Anyway, I can remember it as if it were yesterday, walking into his office and standing there next to his desk. My dad would stop typing and look up. "Tiger, how are you doing?" "Good, Dad, thanks. Hey, sorry to bother you, but I had a dumb question to ask you." And every time that I had a dumb question to ask of my dad, it seemed that he would respond in the same way. "Tiger, there is no such thing as a dumb question. In fact, the only wrong question is the one that you don't ask." And that has stuck with me for these 40 years plus since I was a little guy. There is no such thing as a dumb question. The only wrong question is the one that you don't ask. In light of this concept, I believe that Nicodemus is actually very bright and quite courageous. Think about it. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews. Now, as a Pharisee, that meant that he was very concerned that the law of Moses, the Torah, ought to be followed to the letter. Pharisees were meticulous in trying to follow the law to its smallest detail. And this particular Pharisee, Nicodemus, had heard so much about this teacher from Nazareth, about his preaching and his so-called miracles, that he wanted to find out about Jesus for himself. He was also really concerned, though, about his own image. He didn't want to be seen with this radical preacher. And so he bolstered his courage, and he went out late one night to find Jesus and to talk to him. Nicodemus obviously respected Jesus. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And so we see that Nicodemus really wanted to know about Jesus. He wanted to find out for himself if this really was the Messiah so long awaited by the Jews. And Nicodemus has the guts and the tenacity to ask the tough questions, and even to be confused by the answers that he receives. There is no such thing as a dumb question. The only wrong question is the one that you don't ask. For me, Nicodemus could be considered the patron saint of Lent. And one step further, I believe that Nicodemus would have made a terrific United Methodist. As United Methodists, I believe that we need to celebrate and to claim our heritage as being thinking Christians, people willing to ask the tough questions and to wrestle with the tough answers. This is perfectly in line with our founder, the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, who always studied and wondered and questioned his faith. Our understanding of our faith is based upon the Wesleyan quadrilateral: Scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. John Wesley had a lot of questions about life and faith, and so do we. His brother, Charles Wesley, who wrote thousands of hymns, many of which are in our hymnal, penned these lines as well: "Unite the pair so long disjoined, knowledge and vital piety, learning and holiness combined, and truth and love let all men see." Knowledge and piety, learning and holiness, these go together. And we must be willing to ask the tough questions that will lead us to knowledge and to holiness. Well, as you heard, this story of Nicodemus goes on even further, and it includes one of the most often quoted scriptures in the world. You see it at football games, John 3:16. I bet you could probably recite it from memory. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." For a lot of people, this is the most succinct understanding of the entire Christian faith, and it is the foundation of all that they believe. When I was in college a few years ago, I had a roommate, Rick, who was convinced that I was going to hell because I was a Roman Catholic. But he was also convinced that he possessed the absolute truth, with a capital T. Rick would often quote John 3:16 to whomever would listen, because Rick knew that if you believed in Jesus, you were going to heaven. And if you didn't believe in Jesus, you were going to hell. Cut and dried, end of story. I loved Rick like a brother. And in some ways, I really envied his conviction and his strength of faith. Because some people don't ask questions. They rather have a faith that is solid and fixed. It never changes. It never wavers. But faith does not work that way for me. In my heart, ours is a God of grace, and ours is a God of few easy answers. There is absolutely no question in my mind that God exists, that God loves all people, including you and me, and that God knows what God is doing. But that doesn't keep me from asking the tough questions and wrestling with the tough answers. I've been doing some research recently about HIV/AIDS and the mind-boggling impact that it is having on our world. And it's brought to my mind and to my heart many more questions than answers. Try this out. Roughly speaking, every minute of every day, 245 babies are born throughout the world. 60 seconds, 245 new people. And every minute of every day, one child dies of HIV/AIDS. And during that same day, of those kids who survive, 6,100 children will become orphans because one or both parents have died from AIDS. 1,440 kids die of AIDS every 24 hours. 6,100 AIDS orphans every 24 hours. Why, Lord? Why? And perhaps more importantly, Lord, what can I do to change that reality? There is no such thing as a dumb question. The only wrong question is the one that you don't ask. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know that you love us completely and unconditionally. Open our hearts and our minds that we may have the guts and the tenacity of Nicodemus to ask the tough questions and to struggle with the tough answers. Help us to pull together to become a community of Christ, that together we might have the courage to change the world through your Spirit. Give us the compassion and the grace that we need to take action. In the model of our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.